Fred Film Radio, International Documentary Film Festival, Amsterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2017 IDFA, the International Documentary Film Festival of Amsterdam, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Nizam Najjar. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you're presenting a film called Aleppo's Fall. So, very interesting documentary, but if you don't mind maybe introducing it for our listeners and telling us as much about it as you'd like to start us off.
It's a story about people who are living in a war zone in Syria. The film does not go into the details of war, does not front a war as theme, but it has the quality of going in depth and understanding how civilians deal with war as an improvised method. So we meet this group of militant who are improvising, trying to deal with the pressure of war, and we follow them until the point Aleppo has fallen. That's the title, The Fall, Aleppo's Fall.
I'm also interested in the fact that you are in the documentary yourself, and in a way this documentary is your journey. You are a Syrian-Norwegian?
My mom's Syrian.
Oh, your mom's Syrian.
I was born and grew up part of my life in Syria, being in Syria for me is like being in Aleppo, is like being in my hometown, my home city.
And so what was your reaction when you heard about Arab Spring?
Very, very positive. It was one of the most important socio-political movement in the world. Could be compared in context to the society in the Arabic world. It is a centralized governing system, dictatorships type of governing system. And it's not surprising that people want to change that. It felt very logical that people want to change that reality. And this is the kind of spirit I think the whole world have toward the Arabic Spring. When we heard of it first time in 2011, and there was like a beautiful optimism in the air around the theme of the Arab Spring.
But then, as time went on, that optimism kind of started to fade away.
I think this is correct. This is accurate, but I think there is a big part of that is a construct. Hope is really important element to maintain. It is in a way what makes us stand up in the morning. And losing optimism and losing hope is the ultimate defeat. It is in a way what is the military hardware trying to enforce hopelessness. And this is you find that hopelessness like weaved inside any discussion around the Arab Spring now. This is why I feel it's a construct. So if enough people think it's hopeless, then it is hopeless. On the other hand, we've seen many people who've been exposed to acts of brutalities, injustice. And that is an interesting area to debate, because the more people who believe there is no justice, there is no sense of retribution or justice, the less people will be working for establishing justice. And justice is the core of a civil society.
I'm also curious to know if you had gone back to Syria, or was this you had already gone back to Syria since Arab Spring, or was this the first time that you had gone back since then?
I've been to Syria before the Arab Spring, in a more like vacation or visiting friends and family. But my trip to Syria to make this film was a completely different kind of trip.
Did you know what was going to happen? Did you go with preconceived ideas of what would be happening once you got there?
Not really. I think that the drive is curiosity, and the more you know, the more you want to know, the more you want to push forward and understand a little bit more, and then more and more questions present themselves. So I did not have the idea for making Aleppo's fall. I didn't know by then as well that Aleppo going to fall.
You just wanted to start filming and see what happened.
I was curious about the rebellion in Syria.
And you mentioned there that the more you found out, the more you know, the more you became curious. This curiosity kept making you want to go further. So in the film, obviously, you are caught in these situations of conflict and violence and death, even. Did you find that curiosity was the thing that kept you going while you were encountering these incredibly scary, frightening situations?
It is a quite delicate balance between fear and curiosity. Maintaining that balance, I think, it is the feasible way to be able to go to a war zone and coming back. I mean, I need to come back to be able to tell a story as well. But in the end of the day, when you meet people in Syria, you understand this is people who was taking all options. So what do you do if you have no option? What would you choose having no options? I'm trying to and this is what I tried to do as well during the film, trying to get that perception of the local Aleppo person or the Syrian individual who waking up one morning and your government start to drop barrel bomb on your city. What do you do then? Like what can you do then?
So you see these people that are looking up in the sky and not knowing where it's going to fall, when it's going to fall. You just hear this noise and you know something is going to happen.
Precisely. That this like coming to peace with yourself in that setting, and standing on the street, there is no point to run in any direction, because if you run, there is a big chance that you're going to run in the direction where the bomb is going to hit. I remember one of the scenes I'm quite attached to in the film is like when there was this kid selling gas on the road shoulder, right? And we stopped to fill the car with gasoline, and then we're talking about the nice weather. And he drew parallels between the nice weather and the frequent bumping taking place. And then we look upward, and there was a helicopters over our head. The way the kids was laughing the whole thing off, and the way he took it is such a casual setting with an ironic touch to it.
Well, that's it, because I mean, there is laughter and there is joy in this movie. That's interesting, you know. Dancing, you know.
People are people, right? And we all know that we all have a pretty clear understanding of what's dark, what's light. And that's to be able to maintain your spirit and function in these kind of environments. Humor and a fellowship is an important aspect. Feeling together. And of course you have this from the Aleppo perspective as well, as an individual from Aleppo. When you have this brutalization taking place over your city, over your beloved ones, over yourself, and you feel hopeless and powerless because you don't feel that your voice is being heard. When I screened the film, for instance, yesterday, one of the questions I had they want me to talk about the relationship between the opposition's forces and ISIS. And the relationship between these two forces, that they are enemies, they are arch enemies, they're fighting. But some people assume this is they are working together, and that's the kind of misconception taking place delivered by journalism.
In this film, you got access to places in the opposition forces that we rarely get to see with such insight. And do you think that was because these people want these stories to be told outside of, you know, Aleppo, outside in the world?
That's an interesting thought, and that could be accurate as well. But the way I did get access is really just by going back to my area of the city and just act as a normal person with camera.
Yeah.
I tried to get this film could have been made from the regime side as well, with the same light, the same problems, the same issues, the same sad story, the same laughter. But it wouldn't be when I was trying to look for a story on the regime side before going to the rubble side. There was a sense of fear of people don't want to talk to me because I had a camera, and I was a little bit nervous walking around with camera. So one of the things like dictatorships love to do is restricting information, and that's why I felt much more natural to go to the rebel side. The film basically telling us how did we get access. It's just like walking in and talking to the guys, and then we have mutual understanding of what needs to be done.
Right. The only difference is that you're pointing a camera in front of.
Yeah, precisely.
But they were okay.
They didn't. They wasn't really curious for the camera. I think they was curious for me coming back home.
Okay.
And I was curious to understand the struggles they have, and later on the film as well describe why Aleppo's fall. And in the core of the film, I think we have the themes of division. The oppositions cannot cooperate together. They cannot act as an army because they are not an army. They are like tailors and blacksmiths and teachers, and they are not schooled in the army. And that's what's really interesting for me, because I don't want to make a story about army or about a military institution. It's not the kind of thing I would attracts me as a person either. The team been working around the clock for the last week together with the festival ITFA to arrange for releasing the film parallel to the festival in ITFA at the same time for the people in Syria to see it. So I'm checking social media, and I'm seeing the reaction to that. So it has been a great pleasure to see how much effort people has put into making that reality to be able to release the film in Syria parallel to the festival in ITFA.
Thank you very much for joining us. It's a great pleasure talking with you, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Once again, I remind the listeners that the film is called Aleppo's Fall, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.